You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. We've been asking today, who inspires you and how? Yukari in New York wrote on our website, she said, I find my inspiration through my friends at a winery in Japan. Cocoa Farm and Winery is staffed by mentally disabled adults who work in the vineyards all year long, harvesting grapes, working the crush, and helping with the bottling. I'm motivated to be a better person, she says, when I meet the students. Thanks so much for that story, Yukari. And we'd like to hear from you. Who makes you a better person? 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Join the conversation. And joining the conversation today is Catherine Lamfer, who's in for John Hockenberry. Catherine?
Hey, thanks, Adora. You know, some of us watch the Olympics for the sports. But Jonah Lehrer, the Takeaway's science correspondent, he can't help it. He watches for the science. You might see great feats of athleticism and some really cool commercials. Jonah looks at the tube and thinks, huh, what about the placebo effect? He joins us from the studios of New Hampshire Public Radio. Jonah, you geek.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, so when you're looking at the Olympics, what brings your mind to the placebo effect? What are you talking about here?
Well, people talk a lot about doping, and one of the substances that seem to be, you know, one of the big doping trends right now is human growth hormone. The problem with human growth hormone, at least from the perspective of medicine, is that it doesn't seem to do very much for elite athletes. Most athletes say they take it to recover from injury, but most studies of human growth hormone show that it doesn't seem to help very much.
So then why are people taking it?
Well, that I think is where you invoke the placebo effect. I think athletes are taking human growth hormone not because it gives them a real edge, but because it gives them an imaginary edge, which, because the brain is a very good at self-deception, then gives them a real edge.
That makes me wonder then if there really is something physical happening in the brain.
Yes, there absolutely is with the placebo effect. I think one of the best studies comes from Tor Wager's lab at Columbia University, and he put students in a brain scanner, gave them electric shocks, and then gave them a hand moisturizer, which he told them was a very powerful pain-relieving cream. Sure enough, when he gave them this hand moisturizer, which they thought was a powerful pain-relieving cream, you could see a big difference in their brain. The prefrontal cortex actually shut down the insula, which is the part of the brain that perceives pain. So because these people expected to experience less pain, they actually did experience less pain. It really was the placebo effect at work.
Jonah, that's just wild.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine if you saw some of these athletes taking human growth hormone, and that's a drug that's very hard to test for, you'd probably see a similar thing, that the reason it helps them recover from injury is because they think it helps them recover from injury.
And yet at the same time, if they took it, they'd be disqualified from competition.
That's where it gets a little murky. The official policy of the IOC is that any substance that people think helps them cheat is actually cheating. So they seem to have the placebo effect built into their policy.
So even if I was taking a placebo pill and I was performing better because of it, because my intent was to cheat, I'd still be guilty of cheating, even though technically I didn't.
Those are what the rules suggest.
Huh.
Why don't these rules cover things like, oh, I don't know, diet, clothing, etc.?
Well, that's really where it becomes a slippery slope. I mean, athletes are taking HGH, they say, to recover from injury. So then do we ban painkillers? Do we ban Tylenol? Do we ban aspirin? At a certain point, people take drugs, and part of even the effect of aspirin comes from the placebo effect. Well, there have been studies showing that generic aspirin is less effective than brand name aspirin, not because it actually is less effective, but because people think it's less effective.
So then let's flip this on its head. What about the power of the mind for those athletes who are not taking anything?
Well, you know, they may be susceptible to not having the placebo effect. So they may be a little less self-confident. When it comes to the Olympics, self-confidence is a crucial edge. Thinking you're the best in the world, having that swagger really does give you a real edge.
I guess it didn't work for the French swimming team, though, in the relay race. They were talking a lot, but yet and still the American team, along with Michael Phelps, managed to pull it off.
But perhaps all that talk was a little self-compensation for their, you know, deep down insecurities. And I think you saw when they tightened up in the last leg, I do think you saw that's a classic example of choking. Tightening up is one of those synonyms for choking.
No, it sounds like you've been watching a lot of Olympics coverage.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big sports fan, so it's been a lot of fun.
What does all of that, you know, when we watch these games, what does that do to our brain?
Well, it is, you know, I think a very interesting question for neuroscience is why people love to watch so much, why we love to watch sports. What is it about sports? You know, you're watching players play these, you know, strange games on television, and yet we're all riveted. And I think one of the interesting hypotheses out there right now is a set of cells called mirror neurons. These are a set of cells in your premotor cortex that light up when you watch someone smile or swim a 400 relay. They light up. These cells light up as if you were smiling, as if you were swimming that relay. They literally mirror the movements of people on television or in real life. So these cells have been used to explain all sorts of aspects of social cognition, but I think they also explain a lot about sports. When I'm watching the American swimmer relay, these mirror neurons think I'm swimming the relay. They really collapse that distinction between spectator and athlete.
So when you, for instance, when I'm watching men's gymnastics, which is so far from any skill set I have, that would explain why I'm so riveted?
I think so. And for me, I can't help but grimace during some of those routines when they do the splits. You know, I think my mirror neurons go a little crazy there. But I think mirror neurons do, you know, do help us get involved in sports like curling. I found myself watching curling. I don't even know what curling is, and yet I couldn't turn off the television.
Hey, Jonah, I want to ask you to stick around because in just a few moments, we're going to be having a discussion, in fact, about whether new technology is helping to break all these swim records. So can you stick with us?
Please.
All right, Jonah Lehrer. He is the Takeaway Science Correspondent.